In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It's a good thing the kids are downstairs, because I'm about to lay out some truths that I know. And I'm not ready to burst their bubbles yet. I think, if we're honest, at this time of year, each of us has a particular Christmas that we go back to in our minds, right? Every one of us, when we think about that Christmas, has the one that pops up in their minds. For me, there are three, and it's not the whole Christmas, but it's specific episodes out of them. And we're going in reverse order. The first one I'm not overly proud of. That my brother got the box set of videotapes of the original Star Wars trilogy, and I got a Bible. And my 10-year-old self had some choice words for my mother. You mean to tell me he gets videotapes and I got a stupid book? Not my most shining moment. Backing up a few years was the year that we were still in Reed City, and it was the last live tree we had. And we came home from school and got off the bus, and while we had been at, this is pre-Jonathan, and so we come in the house after school, and it is fully decorated, and Dad had gone to get this massive tree. I mean, this tree was huge. It was like yay big. I was five. It was yay big around and yay tall, and it was in this great big bucket with the river rocks to hold it in place, and it was tied and anchored to the corners of the wall in the dining room. It was massive. It was glorious. And that one sticks out as possibly my favorite Christmas tree ever. Clearly, it's still stuck. But the Christmas that stands out as the one that is most precious to me is the one I was 3 years old, and it's when I got Betty, my favorite doll, who still sits on my dresser. Her arms and legs are almost falling off, so we don't play with her anymore. But it was the Christmas, it's the last time we went to Grandma and Grandpa's house for Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. And as a three-year-old who didn't understand that her grandpa played Santa Claus, I wondered how Santa was going to find us since we weren't at home. And my grandfather, who was the epitome of Christmas spirit, I come by it honestly, took his snow plowing boots and set them in the ashes in the fireplace and put ashy footprints coming out of the fireplace to make my brother and I believe that Santa had still found us, even though we were 190 miles from home. I tell you those stories to bring you to mind of your own picture book that's in your mind as we get ready to talk about Scrooge and his trip with the ghost of Christmas present and the greatest gift. See, when we think about the Christmas Carol and Scrooge's trip with the spirits, right? You have last week in his trip with the ghost of Christmas past, where he went and saw the visions of his life that had gone on before he fell in love with the almighty dollar. When he remembered what it was to be human and what it was to care about people instead of money. And as soon as, again, the one that plays in my mind is the Muppet one. And on Saturday, you'll see, I've got the extended version, which didn't cut the song out. You'll understand. Anyway, but the transport from Christmas past back to current is when he's sitting on the log after he... his current old man self has sung the duet with his now ex-fiance, and he's sitting on the log feeling remorseful for the things he has lost, and Rizzo the Rat is crying in the shoulder of Gonzo the Great, who's playing Charles Dickens. And at transport, that's the transport scene back to Scrooge's bedroom. Then the Ghost of Christmas Present shows up. And again, in the Muppet version, it's the big Muppet, right, with the long flowing red hair, and come in and know me better, man. The Ghost of Christmas Present, takes Scrooge on a journey to see his nephew Fred and the Cratchits and whoever else who are celebrating Christmas that year. And he is seeing the things, one, that he's missing out on, but two, a little bit like the Grinch looking down on Whoville the next morning, he sees that Christmas comes anyway, and that those who maybe don't have two tuppence to rub together are still able to find the joy of the season, because it is not about the presents under the tree, but the presence of the people around the tree. He sees his, you know, and of course, he watches his nephew Fred and his wife kind of poking fun at grumpy old Uncle Scrooge. And he sees the Cratchits who are trying their best to have a good Christmas, but Mrs. Cratchit going, yes, and if he was here, I'd give him a piece of my mind to chew on, and I bet he would choke. And then the little piglets, because Mrs. Cratchit's played by Miss Piggy, he would choke. Anyway, I told you, it's my favorite version. Anyway, so he sees all of this, and he is brought to mind of the things that other people are dealing with. He notices that it's not just about how much money someone has or what kind of earthly possessions or fortunes they have. It's about what they have in their heart. When we read the story from Luke that Vicki read for us this morning, which is after the Christ child is born, it's almost one of those meanwhile on a hill outside of town, the shepherds are out there with their sheep. And all of a sudden, and it's the middle of the night and it's dark, and all of a sudden this angel shows up. And the shepherds are like, ah! And the angel says, fear not, do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of a great joy, which is for all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth or swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. And then the angels left. And the shepherds looked at each other and said, gee, maybe we should go check this out. And so they run to Bethlehem, and they find the stable, and they find it just as the angel has laid it out, that here's Mary, and here's Joseph, and here's the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in the manger. And they tell Mary everything that has happened. It says, hey, excuse me, ma'am, we were out tending our sheep, and all of a sudden, whammo, we had angels, and they were like telling us not to be afraid, and they told us where to find you, and they told us who this was, and we are here to say happy birthday and all this lovely stuff, and this is insane because we don't believe it any more than you do. And Scripture tells us that when they saw this, because they saw Mary and Joseph and the child, when they saw this, they made known what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. Joseph is standing there listening to this story going, oh my gosh. Like, because you got to remember, Joseph has had the angel saying, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And you have Mary who had the angel saying, hey, you're going to have a kid. And this is who he is. And you're going to name him Jesus. And that's all there is to it. And so then, they're in Bethlehem, a few hundred miles from home. And they've had a baby. And they're in a barn. And then the shepherds show up. Tells them all about it. I got to imagine Joseph and Mary and whoever else happened to be in the barn at that time was having a little bit of a really kind of moment. But the key in this passage is what is said next. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. We talk about the greatest gift being Jesus, and I won't deny that he is absolutely the greatest gift humankind has ever been given. But maybe on this third Sunday of Advent, where we remember Mary and her part in this whole story, we could take a lesson from her in this episode. Because while everybody else was focused on, oh my gosh, the angel showed up and you've died, everybody's having this experience. Are we all like drinking the same water, right? Mary treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. It was Mary's way of being present in the moment. And if we're honest, isn't that what the ghost of Christmas present was trying to teach Scrooge? And if we're more honest, is it not what the lesson is for us today? See, where Scrooge get all tied up in everybody else's problems, saying, well, he's poor and he belongs in the poorhouse, or these people belong in the workhouses, or Nephew Fred, you bug me because you remind me that my sister's dead, or whatever the case may be, we too get wrapped up. I said it not even an hour ago. I have a hard time remembering my name this week and remembering who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third, and what's up. You know, how many of us are in that spot right now? It's, you know, not to give you palpitations, but it's the 15th of December. It is 9 days until Christmas Eve. It is 10 days until Christmas. I know people who are not done with their Christmas shopping yet. And I know full well that there are people who have not sent out their Christmas cards yet. And what I'm here to tell you is it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, it does because disappointed people and whatever, and we don't want that. But if you are so focused on everything else going on, well, I got to clean the house, and I got to get this, and I got to do that, and I got to fix this, and we got to be here, and I got to do this, and I've got a to-do list, 12 months. Present in the moment. Because that's what Mary was doing, right? When she stopped and everybody else was amazed, but she stopped and treasured and pondered these things in her heart, she was being present in the moment, at the time, holding on to these things. And I'm thinking that that is part of what we are called to do during this Advent season. Because it's a whole lot of hurry up, right? And it's a whole lot of the lists and the other lists and the lists of lists and all of the things and all of the stuff. Are you taking time to be present with the present? Are you taking time to be grounded with the greatest gift? And are you taking time to focus on the reason for the season, which is the birth of the Savior of the world? My fear is that if we get so wrapped up in all of the hurry up, list of this season, or we get so concerned about fill in the blank, are we going to miss the one whose birth we await? And are we going to miss the sound of the rush of angels' wings as they bend near the earth to touch their harps of gold? And are we going to miss the hope and the peace and the joy that comes when you slow down and listen to the snowflakes fall? I know it's a lot to ask 10 days before Christmas, but I am challenging and charging each one of you to stop long enough these next 10 days to breathe, to reflect, and to be present. Because the greatest gift cannot be found at Walmart or Meijer or the dollar store or Kohl's or wherever else you might go shopping. The greatest gift is not under your tree. It's in your heart. It's in the hearts of the people around you. And it's in the presence of the Almighty. Thanks be to God. Amen.